If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the divine love of the one beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Tonight, our seminar topic is Awakening to Your Luminous Essence. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the alignment that you carry to the thrones of grace in the very heart of the all that is, down into your physical presentation in time and space. And Father, Mother, Source of all life, we ask at this time for the clearance. We ask this at the office of the Christ, the Order of Melchizedek, and the line of the spiritual travelers through which we do this work, in the name of the Christ. We ask at this time that all who are listening that would like to go deeper into the process of their own individual resurrection, that they may come forward at this time with that willingness. We ask that all that takes place here this evening be according to the highest rate and the highest good of all concerned. Let that which can be lifted, cleared, absolved, ameliorated, or in whatever way would best serve those who are listening, let it be done in ease and grace and grace. Great love. We ask this in perfect love, the purity of our hearts, that we may be the all that we were meant to be, that we may manifest our fullest divine potential in this lifetime, and that our way may be cleared of all unnecessary obstacles, or that we be given the strength to surmount those obstacles that we have elected to surmount at this time. And we thank you, Father. Doing all things in your name. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. So, beloveds, we are awakening to ourselves as fields of energy and consciousness and realizing that we are fields of limitless potentiality. There is literally no limit whatsoever to what we are or what we may manifest. For we are forever one with Divine Source. We're one with all that is, all that will ever be, all that has been. And we bring that all in its quintessential essence forward as what we call the luminous body. There's a part of you that is a quintessential sum total of all that you have experienced, learned, expressed, mastered, and undergone throughout all of your experiences as an individualized being. That energy matrix is what is called in the shamanic tradition your luminous body. It is what you have been weaving throughout your many existences and appearances in time, space, and causation. It is the unified energy body that you have woven out of the threads of black and white, darkness and light, upon the spinning wheel of time. So just get an image, if you will, of yourself sitting at the spinning wheel of time. And on that skein, you have threads of black and white. All of the shadow aspects of yourself, all of the brighter aspects of yourself, the black and the white threads. And they've all gone into that pattern, which is quite beautiful when you see the complete design. That's why we really, really do ourselves a grave injustice when we judge our process, no matter what it looks like. It could look like you're in the depths of despair just at the moment that you're getting ready to peek into your highest level of experience. I've had that so many times where I'm just in the absolute doldrums of the deepest pit of darkness. And sure enough, the next thing that happens is I break through into a new level of light and love and empowerment. My process tends to be rather dramatic that way. Maybe yours is different. But suffice it to say, never judge yourself when you're in the pit and the mud and the mire and the manure, because out of that is what the beautiful flowers and the fruits and the vegetables need in order to ripen and bring their gift forward. So you've had to face and confront and deal with and heal and forgive and resolve all of the dichotomies of duality until you could forgive and unconditionally accept all of it as your very own children of consciousness. You have to open those cosmic arms and invite all of yourself, all of your myriad of aspects, the good ones, the evil ones, the saintly ones, the despondent ones, the disheveled ones, all of these children of your consciousness, open your arms and embrace them all fully into the unconditional pure love of your Christ-like heart. Within you dwells the Christ. The Christ is a place of perfect unconditional love, perfect absolution, perfect forgiveness, perfect transcendency. And as you accept all things as your very own, you find all but the love simply dissolves and disappears. So your darkest side and your brightest side have had to literally fall in love and marry and become as one. You know, you don't go in duality back to the oneness. At some place, you have to resolve duality into the oneness to reawaken in the oneness. So some lives were no doubt spent exploring your dark side. Others were spent exploring your light side. And if you acquire the ability to read your own Akashic records, which are there for you to read, if you are so inclined to go in and read them, you'll notice that the roles switch back and forth in life after life, until at the end of your incarnational cycle, as you near graduation, both polarities began to meet and join in a neutral place of acceptance and unconditional loving. And life is, and you simply are, and you know that all is well. Then the battle for supremacy ends. There's no longer an ego ante or a true self and a false self. You know, those dichotomies, they fall away. And you find that you sit whole and innocent, complete and fulfilled upon the throne of your own grace. And that's a place where you know that you are the way, the truth, and the life eternal. And that we are all that. And we are all the light of creative intelligence, of divine consciousness. And we have all been birthed by the one divine breath. So just take that on board, if you will, for a moment. And imagine yourself as the unique distillation of all that you've ever experienced. Let that settle in. Take a deep breath and just allow me to own that. Just allow yourself to expand, to own the possibility of your vastness. Know yourself as a condensation of light, love, and divine sound harmonics. Very unique to you. Each person is the one light, the one love, the one divine chord, and yet it's individually sung into existence. It's individually sung by God throughout the countless worlds and universes of ever open-ended and unfolding life. So as you enter into your innermost energy essence, all things will come into your awareness that you need to know. Own that. That will release so much concern and fear and worry and angst. Your own will find you. It's marked for you. It's linked to your destiny. It appears at the right time, in the right manner, with the right deliverer, the right vehicle through which it's made known to you. Trust that. Know that. Surrender to your own life, to your own divine inner master. When you enter fully into your inner life essence, you have awakened in your luminous body. And you step outside of time. So, let's experience that luminous body, shall we? We always bring our attention to where we are right now in this point of focus, which we call our present life. I call it our time lock commitment. That's what causes our multidimensional, omnipresent essence to focalize into one particular point in time-space that we awaken to each moment, or excuse me, each morning, and go to sleep in each night. That is held constant by what's called a time lock. And it's for a time and a season that you have set and established before you even took birth. You set forth the parameters for this incarnation with a very specific goal in mind. So just take a deep breath and just relax. And allow your awareness to rest in your inner essence. Try to feel the energy, the vital force inside your body. You might trace that as a tingle, or I'm feeling it as kind of like a zoom, 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 zoom. It's like a tremendous energy that flows through my body that I'm aware of all the time. But if you don't know how to locate your inner vitality force or essence, here are a few ways that might help. First of all, take a deep breath and follow your breath to where your breath is exhaled. Follow it to where it is in your body. And as you take a deep breath again, see if you can experience this breath where it is released in your abdomen. Your inside abdomen. Deep breath. Feel it in your belly, your tummy. Feel how it disperses down your legs. And as you breathe throughout the day, you may want to pause and just be aware of your breath flowing inside your body. Inside your body. You know, you can do it, you know, with your eyes closed when you have time. You can just focus into it and feel your breath flowing inside your body. Not just in your lungs. Actually feel your breath inside your arms, your legs, your belly, your internal organs. And then with each breath, notice how your breath, your life force, is filling your body with life essence. Or prana. Prana means vitality, life force. So as you breathe, send your breath down the insides of your legs, down to your toes and feet, and imagine you are clearing and cleansing and breathing life and force and vitality inside your body. Your breath is clearing and cleansing your insides. And then you can breathe into any area where you feel clogged or congested or pain or any kind of dense energy. Those of you who are healers know that as you run your hands through someone's aura, you'll feel where they're blocked because the energy will feel heavy or dense. Inflammation will feel hot. Holes in the etheric aura will feel like cold bursts of air under your hands. Or sometimes you'll run your energies through a person's energy field and you'll feel that heaviness where they have blocks. Not all of you have that ability to feel and sense with your hands, but many of you who are healers do. Some of you work more with an intuitive sense where you just are guided to where you put your hands. Many Reiki practitioners and masters they just have a sense of where they need to place their hands. So however you work with a flow of spirit, just be aware of what you're sensing and feeling. You're feeling for the energy, how the energy feels, both in the field of another person's aura, as well as within your own body. Now your feet are a good focus point for clearing. As most people's feet hurt. Most of us walk a lot, or standing at our work, or whatever. By the time the day is ended, our feet are pretty glad to be put up on the footstool or the lounger or whatever. So give your feet some attention. And you may feel that they're quite congested at the end of the day. Sometimes they're very swollen or they hurt. So work at breathing into the insides of your legs, down your ankles, and into your feet. And as you breathe, see your breath cleansing the inside of your feet. Allow your breath to flow out any psychic debris. And if you feel yourself that you've picked up other people's energy, or maybe some Klingon entities that have attached to your light field, ask them to go home to love. Just ask them to go home to love. I find that it helps to direct them to Sai Baba because he has offered himself to do that. So direct them to Sai Baba or direct them to Jesus the Christ. Direct them to what you consider to be the source of love, so that they have a direction to follow. Otherwise, they'll just think that you're the love, and they will stay with you. And you're probably not equipped to handle that level of karma. So again, release and escort. Or if you don't know how to do that, ask the angels of Archangel Michael to escort any entities that you may have picked up that are attached into any of your chakras, or just to assist you in that clearing process. Because again, that's their job assignment. They will take the demons. They will take the astral entities that may have locked into you in some form through some doorway that you may have inadvertently opened. Archangel Michael's angels will take those beings to the place appointed for them by the Christ. And I can assure you it's a place of love. If you direct them to Christ, there will always be love and forgiveness and grace that will cover and welcome them. So this is an inner focus of your breath. And pay attention to how your breath is flowing. Begin to relate to the breath as being inside your body. We don't want you to identify more with your body so much as the action of life force that is cleansing, clearing, and releasing through you. You could call it, if you're of the Jewish persuasion, the Ruach HaKadosh, the breath, the very breath of holiness itself. The divine breath, the divine spirit is the breath within you, the breath of life. And that is what you can direct very consciously. It's what you have with you all the time. So that's why it's the very simplest process to use for aligning yourself with spirit, because it is spirit, and for cleansing and healing yourself. What could be simpler than that? So this is an inner focus of your breath. And again, you might want to take time to do this at night before you go to sleep. You know, you cleanse yourself from the day. I think it's a very, very important practice to always take a shower before you go to bed. Because just think of the auras and the energies that you've moved through all day. And then why go to bed and marinate in all of that old energy? Take a shower. And when you're taking a shower, chant the Gayatri Mantra if you know it. Or chant the Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sivayot. You know, chant something, anything. But chant some name of God with the intention that you're cleansing your body as the water falls on you. You can visualize it as violet rain, as violet energy. And to use these things. On board ship, we have an energy bath that we take just as we aboard ship. Especially if we've been walking on another planetary world, such as Earth, that has a great deal of density. And as we step into this energy arch, it completely cleanses the auric field, removing bacteria, viruses, etheric debris, psychic debris, anything we may have empathed or picked up. And you can visualize a similar energy field over your door, if you like, so that people that walk into your home are cleansed as they walk through that field. You can imagine it over your bathroom door as you walk in. You can imagine it in your shower. You can use your creative imagination to apply these things in your life in very fun ways, you know, practical ways. You don't have to do it, of course. This is no big, you know, ritual have to. But these are just suggestions for those of you that like to do this sort of thing. So now, you know, gently breathe until you become totally identified with your breath. Don't try to do this. Just relax. Gently place your soft focus on your breath. You know, no desperation here, just soft focus, very gentle. Because the shift into identifying with your breath will be so gradual and so natural, you'll just suddenly realize that you are your breath, that you are that life force breathing life into your body, that you are the holy breath of life itself. What a wonderful, you know, and gentle, wow, wow. You're just so much more than you've ever imagined. So keep practicing until it's very easy for you to feel the breath and the flow of vitality inside your body. Now what's happened is that you have moved from your physical body into your energy body. You have moved into your energy body. And your energy body is called several things. First of all, it's called the physical etheric body. It's the energy field just beyond your physical body. It's also called your prana, your pranic body, or your vitality sheath, or your life force body. In Sanskrit, it's called your prana maya kosha, which again means your illusory or temporary or passing energy body, vitality body. Because essentially, you see, you transcend all of these things. But in your resurrection process, this is the energy field that you're moving into to become acquainted with and to master. This is one of the key elements in your moving beyond the limitations of your physical body. Now, your physical body is your food body. In Sanskrit, it's called your Anna Maya Kosha. Anna means food. Maya Kosha means, again, an illusory body. And illusion, because it's a temporary thought form manifestation of densified energy that you utilize when you're in time-space. But as all bodies, you move to the next higher body as you ascend and begin to jettison unnecessary cargo. So your appearance physically is the product of the densified energy that we intake in the form of food. Now, your next energy body, your vital sheath or your pranic body or your luminous body, is fed and nourished by breath. It's a whole different process here. So this next higher body is what we're looking at here, your energy body, your etheric body, your pranamaya kosha, or energy manifestation, your vital sheath. And this is what shamans refer to as your luminous body. Now, this energy body is the combined distillation of all your experiences throughout time and space. It is the condensation and amalgamation of all the energies that you have absorbed and internalized as your unique beingness on all levels. It is the energy blueprint and matrix which governs your physical body as it's being formed by the physical building elementals in your mother's womb. If you want to know how your fetus develops, there are little devic life forms called the building devas, little energy co-workers with God, that take the blueprint from your etheric body, which again is the amalgamation of your previous existences, your karma, all of that, and builds a physical body that is the corresponding representation of that sum total of energy. So your physical body is responsible for manifesting your level of energy, your state of health, and your overall vitality or lack thereof. Everything traces to the etheric body. Now, you energy workers, when you're working with someone who has a lot of holes in their etheric body, and holes are blasted through using drugs, through becoming intoxicated, drunk, you know, with alcohol, through abuse or great trauma, or leaving parts of your soul essence trapped in time and space. This is where the shamanic art of soul retrieval or essence retrieval is utilized. Sometimes your personality, your energy will fractionize. I don't know if that's a word. I guess I just made it up. Will fragment, let's put it that way, will fragment into sub-personalities, which are like little parts of yourself locked in some form of trauma that play into you and into your subconscious mind. Sometimes people think that's demonic possession, but it isn't really. Sometimes it's called a multiple personality disorder. Worst case scenario, it could be schizophrenia. It accounts for many mental health issues simply because our mental health practitioners are not aware of the etheric body and the effects of trauma and the imprinting of trauma on that etheric body. this is going to be a study and a realization that will dawn with the Aquarian Age as we begin to understand health in terms of the etheric body rather than just treating the objective symptoms of the physical body, which is not where the disease began at all. And again, the etheric body, the energy body, is fed into by what you're doing in your mind, what you're doing with your emotions, what you're doing with your mouth when you speak. All of that is releasing energy, which then gets log-jammed into your energy body. And the clearing of that and the density of that being cleared is what enables the luminous body to emerge from the chrysalis of your overall experience. So within this body of vital force and energy is contained your subconscious, the subconscious imprints and impulses that arise sometimes and seem to run your life. This would exemplify in obsessions, possessions, addictive behavioral patterns, I forget what you call it, where people just, they're unconscious, but they repeat the same actions over and over again, all of that sort of thing. So it governs your unconscious level, so you're not conscious of what's going on. These things come up, present, and tend to run your life. And these are imprints that will always have an effect upon what shows up physically in your life. That's why it's so very important to do what you need to do to heal your issues. The energy that you have on your issues that remain locked in these imprints in the etheric body is what causes most of the chronic fatigue that people are experiencing today, because we are evolving and moving now into a level where these things must be cleared and able for you to pass and graduate into that next higher level of consciousness. So everything that needs to be dealt with is up in your face right now. It's on your plate. So your health, as well as all diseases, have their energetic inception in this energy field of your etheric body. Healing, to be effective, must clear the etheric imprint before health can fully manifest physically. Now, the ones that are absolute masters at doing that are found in almost every indigenous shamanic culture in the world. All shamanic practices have their origin with the ancient Vedic rishis and sages in the Himalayas. And from there, they made their way into every indigenous tribe and culture from Atlantean and Lemurian times, into every practice that we find out there today. So all shamanic healing involves the cleansing, clearing, and releasing of the dark energies and the congestion and the clogging and the entities and the imprints that are still hanging out in your etheric or energy body and your breath and vitality sheath, which are other terms for that same field of energy. So the traumatic imprints which caused disease or any form of dis-ease must be removed. Now, this is done through, let's look a little bit at something else before I get into how it's removed. Just bear with me a moment. I want you to have some concept of what this energy body is with some visuals that you can relate to. If you've ever watched a martial arts Qigong or Kung Fu master or healer, you'll notice that they are able to control and direct the force of their vitality sheath, their etheric bodies, their luminous bodies, so that they can perform seemingly inhuman feats. In fact, all of the yogic siddhis or yogic powers or shamanic powers, such as levitation, the monks that are able to do the flying leaps, you know, where they can cover great, Tibetan yogis can cover great amounts of distance, leaping, large bounding leaps. I've actually done that myself. And when you're in that state, you don't feel your body. You could go on forever, and you literally float, jump, leap over, in my case, the boulders here in Topanga Canyon where I was hiking. So all of those feats, including bilocation, involve the mastery of the etheric body or that vital sheath that we're talking about right now, that luminous body. Some of these masters have generated and tapped into such pranic energy that they can knock you out cold with one look, or they can bring you to your knees or actually cause your body to fly back through the air with a look from a distance. These guys have really mastered the luminous body. So this is the same body of energy that if you read any of the Don Juan books that describes the powers that shamanic Naguals of the Mesoamerican traditions are able to step into. And by the means of stepping into this shamanic level of empowerment, they can actually step into the crack between the worlds, as it's called, which is simply the etheric energy realm that exists between each dimension. And don't try to do this, because some people that try to do this just for fun get lost. So never try to step into the cracks between the worlds. You don't want to do that, trust me. So all shamanic practices must be done under the mentorship of a genuine shaman. Genuine, not a modern-day person that's just using shamanic teachings learned out of a book to make some money in a workshop. No, you're going to have to look long and hard to find a real shaman today, and they're not going to be found in the open marketplace. So if you're on that path and you need that, it's going to show up in your life, or you're going to find yourself on a plane to Peru or Ecuador or some other place where these, or Mexico, some place where these great healers and shamans still work with a few apprentices, if you're lucky. So anyway, I wanted to just share that as an aside. So the etheric realm serves as a buffer zone that filters energies that would be incompatible to enter the next higher dimension. And there's an etheric realm and band of energy between each dimension. And then there's the overall Mahasuna, or the grand etheric void, which protects the unprepared from entering the soul plane, which is the first plane of reality. It's the first plane of truth. It's the first plane where all form dissolves into your real luminous body, which is you as a soul, the golden orb of light itself, which is the soul body, or the Nuri Sarup, as Paul Twitchell called it. The grand etheric plane has a mirror at the very top that will reflect your image back to you. And this is often where people believe that they have realized God and that they're it. That's where they sometimes stop their spiritual practice and become gurus, unfortunately, because they are in the grand illusion. They're looking in the cosmic mirror, but you have to go beyond the cosmic mirror of that grand etheric plane, that great void, to actually move into the state of soul awareness, self-realization, which is the first step into the realms of God, the God realms, which are the true creation beyond the phenomenal realms of time and space. It's that grand etheric void, that dark pit. It's not a pit so much as it's the place you come into sometimes when you feel like you're falling down inside yourself, and you feel dizzy and sick to your stomach, like you've just fallen, boom, into yourself. That sometimes happens when you come back into your body too fast, and you pass through the etheric realm, and it feels like you're falling inside yourself. That's just the etheric realm. You're not going anywhere. It's just a sensation. But it frightens some people. Or they go into that pitch blackness and it frightens them because they feel dizzy and disoriented in that level. And those are all to protect the unwary, unprepared from premature entry into the soul plane. So why are we focusing upon this luminous body of energy in this seminar? It's because this is also where so many people are blocked in their human expression at this time and don't know why. The blocks are areas in your etheric energy that are unresolved imprints that have occurred through trauma, injury, hurts, accidents, grievances, unrepentant negativity that have never been acknowledged, addressed, healed, and released. And you generally need some assistance in accomplishing this. Again, what you need tends to show up in some form in your life. Maybe it's showing up for you in the seminar tonight. So you might want to look at that. So there are many, many techniques to clear and release these blocks. The simplest being working with the light and simply asking the light of the Christ and the light of the Holy Spirit or the light of the inner master, same thing, to bring up what you need to forgive and release. That is absolutely the simplest way. And this is how the spiritual travelers, such as John Roger, John Morton, and others, work with those of us who study with them, under their mentorship, the path of soul transcendence. So this is the Christ way, through grace, of working with the light of the Holy Spirit, where those things that are buried deep within the soul and the unconscious areas of the mind are released as we chant our initiatory tone or mantra. The Course of Miracles would be another form. There are many, many ways that would come under the ordering of specifically the Christ path, although all paths at their highest level come under the office of the Christ. We're speaking more in terms of what you would understand as the more of the Christian orientation, which many of you would like to keep in that lineage, because it is the way of grace, not the way of karma and doing it yourself. It's really the jet plane, you know, home to God. So mantras you could use that would be helpful are H. You know, the HU in individual letters, H-U, or you can use WHO, that's H-U, WHO, or HU, or ANI-HU. These are all very, very good, very high-frequency mantras to do exactly what we're talking about. You could also use the so hum in cadence with the breath, or sai ram, or om sai ram, or sat nam. That's the name of the Lord of the soul realm. You could use Jesus, or you could use Yeshua, which is the name of Jesus in Hebrew. So there are many, many different names of God. It doesn't matter so much what they are as long as you have full confidence and there's nothing in you that goes clunk when you chant it. It has to be something that every level of your body can have faith and trust in. So using the name of God is to incorporate the transmuting power of the holy name of God in concert with your breath. That is an incredibly powerful spiritual practice. Thus, breathing in cadence with the breath is the most powerful and the most simple way to align and cleanse and clear your energy field. And that's the one I use myself. Another approach is through physical yoga. Physical yoga is called Hatha yoga. Hatha yoga, ha means the solar current, ta means the lunar current. So Hatha yoga balances the positive and negative, the solar and the lunar currents of the physical body through specific postures done in coordination with the breath. And this again brings a balancing to the physical and a coordination with your vitality body or your etheric body or your luminous body. So breath work, like rebirthing, for example, is another effective way to release blocked energies from your birth and other unconscious traumas that you may have passed through. Then there are many, many Native American ways, such as smudging, crystal and stone work and layouts, sweat lodges, vision questing, soul retrieval. But again, these need to be practiced by, you know, a real, authentically trained shaman. You know, don't try to do a sweat lodge, you know, as we found out in the recent experiment where you're not under the guidance and the mantle of a real native elder. Be careful, you know. So we're awakening to a level that we're able to incorporate outside of physicality, outside of time. This is what Jesus did when he resurrected. And every single spiritual path, I don't care what they are, is leading us, each one of us, to the process of resurrection, where we transcend the belief that we're locked in a physical body. We transcend all of the illusions of the material and psychic realms, and eventually the greatest and grandest big illusion, which is death itself. And Jesus walked that through as an example for us. And now we're in that time of Easter, when there's so much focus on the resurrection, but 99.9% of everyone hasn't a clue what that really means. And it certainly was not a one-of only event that Jesus accomplished, although he was the very first master to ever resurrect his dead body by the power of the Shekinah power of the Holy Spirit himself. He didn't do the shamanic resurrection, which sometimes happens, where the spirit is called back into the body. African shamans practice that. Many other indigenous elders practice that. That's where the body dies, and then the soul is called back into the body, or another soul comes in and enters the body before it is cremated or buried. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus actually brought the fire and glory of the Holy Spirit down into his physical atoms and reanimated them. In other words, it went from the dream of death into the truth of immortal existence. And he did that and opened the door for that so that we could all follow and do likewise without having to go through the crucifixion, without having to, well, we go through our own crucifixions, but we actually crucify ourselves by our own self-indictment. And he wanted to release us from that by saying, hey, I'm your fall guy. I paid the price. You know, I did it for you. Now you can get over your guilt. You know, I ate it all. Get over your guilt. You know, just step free through grace in the original innocence and purity that is your birthright as a child of God, as an incarnation of God. So we are all the light of creative intelligence and divine consciousness, and we are all birthed by that one divine breath. I think that's so beautiful to imprint in your consciousness. So all of the great masters and shamans are not locked into the time-space and causation continuum. They're not caught at the duality, karma, and reincarnation. And when you master your vital force and awaken your luminous body, you will be able to step in and out of time-space at will. And then you're free at that point. You know, those of us that are soul initiates that have moved beyond the etheric realm, actually working through and from our soul body, we're really free. You know, shamans are going to probably have to reincarnate because they've only gone as high as the etheric realm, or the astral realm, or the causal realm, or one of the mental realms. But when you move into the soul realm, you have spiritual liberation. Then you can walk the world as a Jivan Mukta, as a soul that is in the world but no longer of the world, and is walking in the state of inner and outer freedom. So just recognize that where you are right now in your life is exactly where you are supposed to be. And your first lesson is always acceptance. You accept what is as what needs to be, for it presents you with your past. Yeah, wherever you are right now, your past is being presented to you. So you must accept and forgive and release your past before you can move into your future. You'll know you've moved into your future when your past doesn't keep repeating. Because otherwise, if you don't deal with your past and heal it, your past follows you into your future, and you keep repeating the same patterns over and over and over until you pay attention to what your life is presenting to you. Just know that your life is your process of initiation. It is your awakening of your luminous body, or your soul body, which is even greater body and vehicle of manifestation. So your life is the curriculum you, as a soul, designed with your spiritual support team before you were born. And these are the lessons that you said you wanted to work with and to overcome and to transcend in this life. And this is what you wanted. This is what you requested at a higher level. And you're not alone. You have guardian angels, you have masters, you have guides that are in the discarnate state, you have shamans and masters and rishis and sages and adepts that work with you, that have immortalized their bodies, that are working from their luminous bodies, that are in soul awareness and working from the soul and God realms. Those would be the travelers. You have all of these different workers that work with you on the inner planes and that stand around you as your cheering team. They're your, you know, the people that have your back, that are watching out for you. They're not going to interfere with your learning. They're not to inflict their consciousness or tell you how to do stuff, but they will protect you and keep you from making the worst of the worst mistakes if you pay attention. So, in fact, some of you are all souls that have elected to work through many lifetimes in this one life. And you're the ones that seem to keep reinventing yourself. You know, as the old self dies to its past, suddenly a new part of yourself awakens in the same body and starts what looks like and feels like a new life. I've been through around 8 of these lifetimes myself in this body. So that's how I've experienced this process of clearing, resolving, and moving on to what's next. For me, it's looked like a whole new life. Now, some of you go through what is called a shamanic death. This could involve an actual near-death experience, a close call accident, or a health crisis, or it could be more of a psychological death to what you thought of up till now and understood to be yourself. And in that process, you will confront the specter of your own death. For some, this is very traumatic, and for others, less so. It depends on what you as a soul thought would best get the attention of your human personality. Yeah, it's a huge wake-up call. And I believe these earth changes, tornadoes, financial reversals, loss of property, injury, loss of loved ones, the things that are happening all over the planet right now, that are life-interrupting and life-altering events, I believe they're presenting another form of that same shamanic death process to many people today. So when you go through the shamanic death, you do go through a great valley of darkness, and you confront your worst fears. I believe the two greatest fears that we have as human beings is the fear of death and the fear of loss of identity. And maybe the big overarching fear would be the fear of the unknown or not being in control. So for those who strongly identify with being their physical bodies, as is so much the case here in Hollywood with our industry of beauty and the modeling industry and the actors and everything, the loss of beauty, youth, health, or any physical impairment can be completely devastating. I like to cite the example of Christopher Reeves, who played Superman in the early films. At the very height of his professional game, the very height of his health and physical appearance, in a nanosecond, everything came to a halt. He was riding his horse and jumping jumps, and he had on a protective helmet and everything, and he was thrown off his horse, and he injured his second cervical vertebrae, which brought his entire gorgeous body into complete paralysis from the neck down. And although, you know, Christopher Reeves handled his accident like a true Superman, it was not easy, and he went through the full gamut and range of grief and anger and frustration and why me? And the loss of what he had thought up until then as himself, his whole identity. And his wife Dana also went through her own version of shamanic death and the loss of her life and in the life she had with her husband up until then. And she also handled it with the selfless love and grace of a true initiate of the higher life. So Christopher and Dana Reeves both model the very best of examples in the very worst of circumstances, and they truly were way showers for us all. So when confronted with the unknown dimensions of life, what we all need to do is to set our default setting to trust. Outrageous trust. Trust is the only way we can demonstrate that we love God. If you love someone, you trust them. If you love God, you trust Him. You trust Him in life, in death, and in that which is beyond. And whether you believe in God and trust in God per se, or you believe in yourself and trust in yourself, it really boils down to the same thing, according to Sai Baba. For the self and God are one and the same essence. So there is a part of us deep inside that absolutely knows it's eternal. And that part becomes the strongest that awakens as we die. And that something greater then will take over, and it always, always will. And you can trust that. Welcome to your luminous bodies. And we thank those that have worked with us this evening for this activation. Let's go out chanting Om Shanti, 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 which is peace in Sanskrit. Om Shanti Shanti Hari Om Tat Sat Adonai.